Konnichiwa and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
The Queen of Alba shines in the sky. Arthur's name Aurora signifies glorious success.
Gores.
Jesus Christ. It's me, Gores, Gangrene's oddball with the OCD, here to be terrified about passing my mental illness to you.
And I'm just the one and only leader. Ace is here to host and bring joy to the podcasting world.
So, to give you context on why mine makes no sense, since the intros are so weird, I was like, I'm just going to pass it through Google Translate 10 times and call it a day.
What did you wrote first, though?
I don't remember anymore. I just passed it through Japanese, Spanish, Chinese, Finnish, Czech, Latin, because I wanted to bring the amount of words I was using to even fewer.
It did very well. Yes, we were introducing ourselves like the stream team Karamazov in the anime that we watched, which was Needy Girl Overdose, a series which started recently. Since this is based on a video game, we decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we pique your interest. It was animated by YoStar Pictures, the studio behind Go-Go Loser Ranger and Arknight's Prelude to Dawn. You might remember we covered that recently. Needy Girl Overdose currently has an AnyList score of 68%. The game Needy Girl Overdose, also known as Needy Streamer Overload, released in 2022 on PC and Switch, and a PlayStation 4/5 release came in 2025 from developer Why So Serious, WSS. It's a kind of daughter-raising simulation mashed into a psychological horror visual novel, but based around raising a streamer's popularity. It's had a mini-game spin-off in 2022 and a typing game in 2025. My short synopsis is, streaming is serious business. Hatter.
Wait, I'm sorry.
do you want to expand on that?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. Follow a story about big streamers, the damage of social media, and something else, probably. I didn't understand much.
Goes.
In the far future, government and media blames internet personalities for corrupting children instead of looking at parents in schools neglecting their children. Oh wait, that's just the present.
Okay, and before I knew what this show really was, I asked Goz if he could please write the longer synopsis for this. I'm sorry, Goz, but take us away.
It's okay. Maybe I did.
Good luck.
Okay.
Do your best.
Right. We open with streamer K-Angel having a live event on stage for 10 million followers as people freak out and fucking die of nosebleeds.
Die twice.
Yeah, sometimes they show the same person just get a nosebleed multiple times. I don't know what's up. After the opening credits, we are introduced to Kashi. What was it? I think it was Kashi. A student in Shibuya Beauty Academy having inner monologue about how social media made everything suck. Thanks, Mark. That's Zuckerberg. I'm not sure if
Wait,
I should.
We got it. It came across.
At her work, a themed cafe, she tolerates being hit on by customers while spacing out and remembering the same happening during her school days. We cut to Ame-chan out of her K-Angel persona, sitting unresponsive in a chair before having a mental breakdown. Back with Kashi, we witness her talking to her boyfriend and watching an interview with K-Angel, pondering on the nature of influencers, fandom, and depression. Then she gets... Hold on, I censored myself. I can't remember how I read it. Then she gets rapped by her boyfriend. It's spelled R-A-P-P-E-H-Y-A-E-D.
That's certainly some censorship.
Rapped by her boyfriend. While having a flashback to her friend Michika quitting school. And now the word from our sponsor. I mean, we cut to a talk show with hosts observing how kids are stupid because of those damn cartoons. I mean Nintendo's. I mean Maymay's. I mean influencers.
I forget exactly whereabouts this happened, but there were some interviews with people and the backgrounds were photographs. It wasn't like cartoonish representations of photographs. It was just straight photographs with some people talking over them.
Wait, really? I didn't notice that because I noticed it on the one with the kid, but then the flag from the government seemed really non-real. And I was like, oh, never mind. I guess I'm just crazy.
Art style on the people in this section is also different, like more realistic to, I assume, stylistic choice. I also loved about that sequence where they cut for to everyone. Of course, we're talking about K-Angel, and they zoom in on the kid and he's just, like inner monologue, God damn it, I'm a kid, I'm tired, let me fucking sleep. Also, part of the commentary, I guess. Don't bring your, that's what's going to ruin your child if you don't let it sleep and just carry it to an interview. Where was I? This leads back to the interview with K-Angel commenting on the issue. When she shows no knowledge of a new influencers group, you are introduced to Karamazov, Purple Lollipop, Nechika-sama, and Michika Gokubara, who react to the interview. Nechika-sama asks Michika about Kachi's, her friend's, first day at work, and Michika says she isn't interested in what happens to people below her? Something like that. I was gonna rewatch and she might be too into her persona. Something. We cut back to Kachi, who after being assaulted by her boyfriend thinks to herself she wants to die. Yes, that's the show you're watching. In post-credits scene, Purple Lollipop says she'll kill her. I assume she means K-Angel. She has a gun. I'm not sure if it was real, though.
She shoots a hole through her phone.
Yeah, but that might have been stylistic. So, and the gun looked like a toy gun. Sorry, go on.
And then she goes, bang. Like, after the gunshot. If you have a real gun, you don't need to say bang.
Not if you're cool.
Yeah, that's totally cool. Kills the person, bang. It's just the best way to ruin all your coolness factor.
Like people who knock on the door and then say, knock, knock. You already knocked.
Oh, no. That's such an accurate representation. I joined the Discord call and I'm like, doodun.
Hello, I joined. But I always say that. Right, episode 2. We open with Karamazov Group announcing a collab interview with K-Angel, who meanwhile finishes her stream and goes to dump while reading hateful comments.
I gotta say, flushing the negative comments down the toilet is a good policy for anyone on the internet.
Yeah, it was stylistically a good scene, I thought. You flush, and they go down with the dumpings. This is interrupted by the arrival of P-Chan, who she vents to while alternating between her carefree and gloomy voices. I think it's implied that she's bipolar.
I think she says she's bipolar.
Yeah, it's not implied. It's just, oh, that might be someone else, yeah. Because I'm pretty sure that happened in episode 1, so maybe K-Angel?
Someone says that they're bipolar.
We go back to Karamazov Group's place, where visiting Kachi asks about her value, if she's selling her youth, and we get different takes on the issue. With Purple Lollipop Pop in particular emphasizing she can transform into whoever she wants online. After Kachi leaves, Karamazovs have their live event with K-Angel, where Purple Lollipop tries really hard to appear superior and not be outed as K-Angel's fan. Comedy and more commentary on the nature of influencers and Shu.
Sorry, just going back to the friend and dude skating around with his wheelies pouring tea. That just makes him look like an asshole.
That's a girl.
She's the type of person to say bang after she shoots the gun.
Just saying that the one skating around is a girl.
Oh.
I mean, I thought the same thing, okay? But then I read the description of the show by the creators, and it's all about girls, so I checked.
Oh.
K-Angel revealing she still remembers getting a super chat from Lollipop when she first streamed a fighting game. But good times are interrupted when Bad Woman enters the stage. played by Batwoman, with a squiggly knife. Oh no! K-Angel performs a knife catch technique and goes home. In post-credits scene, Ami-chan is on beach with P-chan, saying she can keep living because she has them.
Sorry, it's something that happened during the show. When Lollipop got flustered, it showed us multiple flowers blooming. Why? That's usually short code for people having sex. I don't know what the implication is here.
Well, later they use a red lollipop for arousal / having sex, so...
I got that same feeling. It's just like arousal? Maybe? Because it seems like she was quite obsessed with K-Angel. And also, in the first scene where K-Angel and she meet, she has a nosebleed and then kind of like taken away. As far as I'm aware, historically, nosebleeds is only for people you find attractive.
All super cute.
That checks out.
My last note about the episode is, why did the building not have security?
It's okay. K-Angel was the security. I like how they're fighting game streamers, so they know moves of their own, like knife grab technique.
So she did up, down, left, right kick.
Yeah, pretty much.
A squiggly knife catch. That was a nice knife squiggly. Where do you get a squiggly knife?
From the squiggly knife store.
I don't think even people in prison make their shivs and they look like that. It must have been like made specific, like a specific order. Make me a squiggly knife. Didn't even look like a good knife. Sorry, I'm getting hung up on the knife. Episode 3. The episode opens with Ami-chan being at her doctor's and asking for meds because she can't fall asleep naturally anymore and thinks about killing people. That's very relatable. After leaving and stepping into a crowd of people, she sees an interview with K-Angel on a screen and has a flashback to her childhood when her parents split up. She moves into her grandma's place with her dad, but after she runs away, she's taken away by her mom, who neglects her while getting railed by guys. For the next...
Yeah, no notes.
I'm sorry. I just laugh at sometimes at how I write things. For the next few years, Ami is being mistreated by adults, bullied by her classmates, and escaping into her phone and games. A breaking point happens when she encourages a classmate to murder his bullies and beats her mom, who tries to prostitute her to her boyfriend. It's very wholesome. We cut back to present, where K-Angel has a live event, and then Ami is still in a crowd watching the interview. And that was the end.
In the live event, I just love the little thumbs up from the two guys who catch K-Angel with a mattress.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, man. Yeah, you too.
You know, that's... I don't know if that's commonly known, but there was a Twitch, like a TwitchCon that Twitch made. And they had like I don't know if it was a slide or something where you could jump off and the bottom was like mattresses, but they fucked it up. So one of the streamers jumped and broke her back.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So I wonder if that's a little nod. And they, so the two guys were like, oh shit, we did it.
No broken pecs this time. Good job, Jerry. I really like the detail, though. It's nice that they decided to animate that.
Yeah, it could have just been those two catch her and then change camera angle, but no, quick thumbs up. So, has this made you want to check out Needy Streamer Overload?
No. No. Not at all. Sorry, you can continue.
I mean, it's dark, but I feel like it's very... very current, very artistic, and tells the story and the issues in an interesting way. It's definitely something that was relatable to me, and I could see myself playing the game.
Okay, I don't think that I'd play it. It seems like it just depressed me, and I don't want to be depressed.
That's fair.
So is it a Yata Nani or a Baka, Atara?
This is a Baka for me. I think Needy Girl Overdose... Needy Girl Overdose? Yeah, right? Yeah, Needy Girl Overdose was probably one of the hardest watches we've had in this podcast so far, and that's saying a lot considering all the fighting anime we've watched. But it's just, I think the animations were really pretty. I liked the, it's kind of like very stylistic and artistic, but it's just not for me. I'm not a fan of like media touching on these hard topics, not because I don't think it should happen. I'm glad it exists for those who will need it or resonate with it. But because for me, I just rather enjoy something that makes me feel good, or at the very least is not set in such a realistic and grounded reality.
Okay, Angus?
It was a yata for me. I thought it was very good all around. I'd have to be in a specific mood, in a specific place to watch more of it, I think. But I could follow it, and I understand the issues and could see a lot of positives coming out of people seeing it and hearing people talk about those issues. The animation and sound and voice acting all was really good. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say that as for synopsis, is just, yeah, I could follow what was happening, but it's hard to pick what I should be writing down. Like, should I be writing literal story, or the commentary that they're trying to have?
And now she hits some whack-a-mole things, and now she goes on the Ferris wheel.
And then there's a lot of text on the screen.
The whack-a-mole, of course, is a commentary on killing people in video
with
games.
It's
one game, and it comments on other games. Totally. I know what I'm talking about.
So everything of this is a yata, the art, animation, acting, music, but it's not something I'd ever intend on watching more of. I prefer horror that's more slasher and less mental health. So it's hard to classify. It's well made, well put together, but it's not something I'm interested in watching. So I'd like to rate it a yata, but it's probably a backer.
Fair enough.
I really like your take on it. That's kind of how I feel. It's just, I think because I'm basing our scoring off of my own personal like of it, not the production quality of the whole thing. We've right. given yatas to things that have been awfully produced, but we're like, this was funny and hilarious, and it was amazing.
Yeah, that's like Galerians.
Oh, no.
This is probably I should mention, but I read afterwards that they actually kept some of the voice actors' identity a secret, particularly K Angel / Ame-chan, and at I think in episode 2 or maybe it was still episode 1, they show her talking and it's like live action footage. I assume that would be that was the voice actress. Kind of yeah. trying to emphasize that you're different in real life than you're on the screen. I really like that.
Okay, so does it deserve its Annie List score of 68%?
I think it's a very fitting one because of the points we've made. I think it's a solid everything, but maybe it's just not for everyone. Actually, following this, I went to check out Needy Girl Overdose, and it's like, very highly rated. I believe it was even overwhelmingly positive, which made me question why this isn't a higher score, considering it seems to me like it's doing basically exactly the game was showing.
Yeah, yeah. I from the all the times we looked at Annie's scores, I feel like 70, 80 is basically their 9 or 10. Because apparently all the analyst critics or a lot of them are fucking snobs and won't rate anything at 10. So I feel like maybe up to 70, up to 7, something like that would be nice. Which of course I would see it as a 9.
Okay, well, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good show.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Saradewa, game on.